Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to be discussing how to live a life of success and significance with our guest, Aaron Walker. Aaron is the president and founder of Views from the Top, which is a premier life and business coaching resource. It is my pleasure to welcome Aaron to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on, buddy. I appreciate that.
My pleasure, Aaron. You've had a very interesting story. You started your business as an 18-year-old. You've been able to sell several of these businesses. So you know what it takes to build a successful business. But then you also got into personal development. So why did you suddenly start focusing on personal development and helping other men in that area?
Well, can I back up and tell a little bit of the backstory? And I think it'll help you understand why I'm in personal development now.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I started really early, Mark, even earlier than 18, at 13. I helped my dad remodel a pawn shop in Nashville, Tennessee, fell in love with the business. We didn't have any money, so I had to find some partners to go into business, and I did. We opened a pawn shop when I was 18 years old, had two partners that were silent in the business. I got married 2 weeks out of high school, and so Robin and I worked in the business, grew it to what it was when we sold it to a Fortune 500 company. It was very successful early on. We worked really hard night and day, paid a 10-year loan back in 36 months. We were 21 years old. We had a paid-for business. So we did it again. So we bought another store, and same story, 10-year loan. We paid it off in about 4 years. And then we did that two other times. So we had four stores. I was 27 years old. Company in Fort Worth, Texas called Cash America. They're a Fortune 500 company. Wanted to grow through acquisitions, and they were expanding. They were about 300 strong at the time, and now they have 1,100 stores. They're in three different countries. They about $1.6 billion company now. But at the time they bought me, they didn't want to do startups. They wanted to grow through the acquisition, like I said earlier. And they made me an offer. You know, I just couldn't refuse. I was 27. I didn't have anything at 18. And by the time I was 27, you know, I was finished. And that all sounds really glamorous, and it sounds really, really cool. And it was for a period of time. But Mark, in about 18 months, I was getting in the bed in the middle of the day. I became very bored. I gained about 50 pounds over the course of 18 months. And Robin woke me up one day and she said, "You're not the guy I married. What's going on with you?" And I said, "Well, I don't have any reason to get up." Right? There was no purpose.
No purpose. You beat me to it.
Yeah. So she said, "I don't care what you do. You got to get a job, or you got to open another company, whatever, but you got to do something." So I went back, went in partners with the guy I started with when I was a child. And we grew that business four times the size it was when I started with him. And things were good. I had a great schedule. I worked 3 days a week. He'd work 3 days a week. And we did that for a decade. And we grew the company, like I said, four times the size it was. And my life changed forever, though, Mark. I was headed into the office. It was August 1st, 2001. We'd had the company, you know, a number of years at this point. And a pedestrian was crossing the street to catch a bus and didn't look my way. And I ran over and killed a pedestrian crossing the street to catch a city bus. And I couldn't believe that happened to me. I just could not absolutely believe it. I just sit there horrified, afraid to turn around and look, and finally did. And this guy's laying face down in the street, and ambulances, police cars started coming. And I jumped out of the car and praying, "God, please don't let this be true." And it was. And unfortunately, he lived 3 days in the Vanderbilt trauma unit here in Nashville. And unfortunately passed away. His name was Enrique. He was 77 years old. He was from the Philippines originally, and he just didn't see me. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't anybody's fault. He just ran across the street and didn't look my way. He just didn't see me. But Robin and I decided that we were going to take a break, and so we sold the business, and we took the next 5 years off. We didn't do anything but travel, and we built a new house, and kind of had to have a change of scenery a little bit. And I went to counseling, got a lot of my mastermind guys around me, a lot of support, a lot of help, kind of coached me through that. God gave me an inordinate amount of grace to be able to deal with the horrific accident that I was involved in. And then again, about 5 years later, Robin goes, you're getting fat and lazy again. You got to do something. And so we went in the construction business and we had a very successful construction company for 9 years. We were number one, 3 consecutive years in Middle Tennessee. We built high-end residents and medium-sized commercial properties and business was good, but I retired at 50 years old after that and I decided I was finished. Some of my mastermind group members approached me and they said, what are you going to do now? They said, retirement hasn't worked real well for you. And I just kind of laughed and I said, well, I'm going to enjoy the good life. I'm going to fish and hunt and play golf and travel. And a couple of my buddies said, you know, you've done that twice before and you last about 18 months and then you get bored again. You're young, you're 50 years old and you need to do something. Well, in my mastermind group are people like Dave Ramsey, Dan Miller, Ken Abraham, some notable Nashvillians. Jeff Mosley owns INO Records. And those guys said, you need to coach. And I said, I'm not coaching anybody. I'm done. I'm completely done. I've been working since I was 13. I'm 50 now, and I'm finished. And Dan Miller said, you're too young to quit. You need to coach. So Dave Ramsey invited me to do Entree Leadership Mastery Series, and he gifted it to me. So I went out and went through that and loved it. Went to Innovate, and Dan Miller texted me on my way home. We all live here in Nashville together, and he said, Averyn, those people were listening to what you have to say. You've had a dozen successful businesses. You and Robin have been married over 3 decades. You need to teach people how to do it. So, Mark, that's what's birthed View from the Top. Now I'm privileged to coach clients from all over the globe. We have national and international clients. I facilitate 7 mastermind groups every week. We have 10 guys in a group, and I facilitate each one of those groups. We have the community. We have a few hundred guys in our community that come together on a forum each and every week. We do live interviews on Wednesdays where I interview people like Pat Flynn and John Lee Dumas and Bob Berg and just a whole list of people that I could tell you. I just interviewed Tom Ziegler last Wednesday night. That was a real joy. And that's kind of what my gig is now. I'm just enjoying helping ordinary men become extraordinary. And that is the reason I got in the personal development space.
I'm happy that the people in your mastermind were able to convince you to get into this space. But when you're getting all these messages from Dan Miller and Dave Ramsey saying, you got to get in the professional and the personal development space, what were your thoughts then as you're going in as a 50-year-old who's thinking more about retirement than personal development business?
Yeah, well, it wasn't interesting to me at all at the time until I started thinking about it. And I started thinking, you know, I've been doing personal development for a long time personally to build my businesses. But as you're so eloquently put it, you're looking to retire. And I thought, I'm done. And then I started thinking, I got a long way to go. You know, I'm just 50. And if everything goes well, you know, I got 30 good years left. And how can I help other people reach their goals and dreams? And so I started teaching the possibilities of what you can do as a young guy. You know, my heart really is for young guys just trying to find their way. And so I started teaching valuable lessons on things to do in customer service and the personal development space, how you can, you don't learn just through osmosis. You just don't get up and, you know better. So we really fill our minds with great books, TED Talks, podcasts, conferences. There's just such a host of things that we can do in order to grow. And so when I started thinking about it, I said, I've got a lot to add to a lot of young guys because I've got so much experience.
It's very interesting that you are focused on helping others with this personal development right from the start when you started to pursue the idea. And it's also interesting that you focused on building businesses for a long time, but you were also doing that personal development on the side. It's not like you just started doing personal development as a 50-year-old. You started doing personal development coaching, but you had been doing it way before and built your life of success and significance way before you started your personal development services. So my question to you is, how do you turn your life into one of success and significance?
Well, here's what happened to me, Mark, early on. I was really focused on the success piece early on in my career. You know, as a young guy, 18 years old, I wasn't thinking about significance. All I could think about was myself. And then I got married and we had a couple little kids. And then I needed to make a lot of money in order to raise my family. And, you know, once I sold out to a Fortune 500 company, I thought, well, you know, I can do this again. And so we started another company and it grew four times the size it was. All that was on my mind was success. It was, you know, a bigger home and nicer things. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. I mean, I love stuff and I love a nice house and I hate it when successful people go, money's not important. I want to go, you liar. It is important. It's very important. Let's take your money away from you and let's see how important it is. Sure, it's important, but don't make it your central focus, right? Don't make it your God. Don't make it the only thing that you want to accomplish. And then, Mark, when I had that accident in 2001, it really radically did something to me. And I'm trying to help people see today that don't let it take a catastrophe, you know, a heart attack or a horrific automobile accident to get your attention. And what that accident taught me was that my life could have been over just as quickly as Enrique's was. And what would my legacy have been? It would have been he started from nothing. And he made enough money to retire at 27. And then he started another company and did really well, had a nice house. And, you know, we had a couple of vacation places and things like that. But nobody cares about that. See, the only thing people care about is how knowing you is going to impact their life in a positive manner. It's all about the relationship. People don't care what you have. They don't care about your stuff. What they care about is building a relationship with you. And I thought, man, I've missed the boat here a little bit. When my dad died in 06, I stood at his casket and greeted people for 6.5 hours. Not one person said a single word about his stuff. All they talked about was the impact that my dad had made on their life individually. And that's what I want my legacy to be. I want a legacy of wisdom and relationship. And I want to be able to pour into others to enable them to achieve their goals and dreams. And when we start facing outward rather than inward, the natural reciprocity is people want to do business with you. They want to buy your service. They want to be around you. Whatever widget you're selling, they're interested because your focus is on their benefit and welfare, not your own. And that's what having that automobile accident taught me. So now, not only do I want a life of success, but I spend about a third of my time trying to be significant as well.
That was very deep. And I hear you talking a lot about success and significance and not to just be going after the money. So mentioning success and significance, do you think that the significance helped you to become more successful? Or do you think you were already successful with the money, but the significance helped you to enjoy your life more?
Well, it's twofold. And you've got to be careful with your motivation when you talk about significance. If you're doing significant things to improve your net worth, you're looking at significance in the wrong sense. Let me kind of go over two things. First of all, my responsibility is not to impose on others what success is, right? You have to determine that for yourself. For me, I had to decide that choosing my own schedule and having financial freedom was important to me. I could be successful in regards to the way we view things if I could choose my own schedule and have this financial freedom. But simultaneously, I wanted to have an engaging family and meaningful relationships. I wanted inside of me to have a clear conscience with every transaction, every deal that I did with anybody, Mark. I wanted to be sure that I was above reproach. So I wanted my conscience to be clear. I wanted to learn even at 50 years old, you got to take care of yourself physically. I wanted to learn to be content in whatever state I was in, but not be complacent. And there's a big difference. You can be content. It's kind of like happiness is a choice, not a trait. We elect to be content the same way we choose to be happy. I wanted to have a clear sense of direction. I wanted to know how I was going, where I was headed. And I had to have mastermind members around me that were non-biased. People that was really interested in my well-being. I wanted to be able to dream big and establish goals, you know, and I wanted to understand my personal faith because I'm a Christian and I wanted to know that I could trust in a higher power. I wanted to have meaning and purpose in everything I did. And at the end of the day, Mark, I wanted to leave a legacy of wisdom. And in order to do those things, it took a great amount of effort. But then when you switch gears and you think, well, those things are about me, And then you start thinking about significance, and you think, what even is significance? What does that even mean? And to me, it always means meeting the needs of others, not yourself, but others. You got to learn to fully engage people, listen intently. I tell everybody, stop waiting your turn to talk, right? Listen to what Mark is saying. Don't think about what you're about to say. And what I said earlier about being careful about significance, we help other people that can't repay us. Right. We do it anonymously. We take our grandchildren out and we do things in secret to help other people, to teach my grandchildren to be generous and to help other people when they can't do anything for me back. I want it to always be available for other people, even when it wasn't convenient. Because, Mark, if you're like me, aren't you busy all the time? There's always something to do.
Always.
But if you say, you know what, it's not convenient for me right now, I'm going to do this interview, or Mark is starting his new podcast. You know what? There's others that I could be on, but you know what? I want to help Mark. I want to help him get his podcast up and going and help him reach people that are in his sphere of influence. I want to always provide above the minimal requirements. I want to give over and above. And if your audience will do that, man, you will be hugely, hugely successful. I want to place other people's wants and desires aside for the benefit of others. I want to prioritize my goals with other people in mind. And then, Mark, I want to learn to delay personal gratification for the greater advancement of others, and have the foresight, man, to look long term so that potentially you could impact generations to come, not just the people that are around you immediately. So, man, if you'll do those things, you'll be hugely successful, all the while being significant.
I like how you're able to connect the two of those things together. And two of the common themes that I'm getting from this interview right now are leaving your legacy and also having an impact on others. So those are two very motivational sides of putting in the work and being successful at what you do. So my question is, was one of those two things your biggest source of motivation, or was there another source of motivation that helped you towards your journey of strong personal development?
You know, Mark, I think that's a moving target. I think that it changes. I don't think it's one and done. I know when I was a young man, I needed to make a lot more money. So my motivation was to make more money because I had two girls and I had to put them through school. And there was tuitions to pay, and there were prom dresses to buy, and there was cheerleading outfits to get, right? You need a lot of money for that stuff. And so my motivation as a young guy was different than my motivation now. Now, I still like making money. I don't, as I said, make any apology for that. But the motivation now is for the legacy, is for helping other people accomplish their goals. It's for my grandchildren, which I have five now. I want to be the patriarch. Right, I want to be able to help them, aid them, help them start businesses. My motivation is different now. So I think in order to say that, you have to quantify exactly what area that you're in, or what exactly what space you're in. You know, if you're a new dad, if you're brand new in business, or if you're a grandfather, I think it's different. So not to avoid your question, I just think it's different at different times.
That is interesting, because the world does move very fast, and I'm sure like just a few years ago, you weren't thinking about, I got to do this for my grandchildren. Like me, I'm not thinking about that right now at all, but there's going to be a point when I am thinking that way. I will. So I do find it interesting that your biggest source of motivation has constantly been changing based on how you change.
Well, you know, it's because life is a journey. It's not a destination. And you can't ever get to one place and be totally, you know, complacent because it's always moving.
So your journey has taken a lot of twists and turns, and I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way. It seems like you've got a lot of great expertise within this self-development. What is the best lesson you have learned on your journey that you believe that myself and my listeners would value the most?
Yeah, hands down, without a question, I've got an answer for that. No question about it. It's building relationships intentionally. And it's kind of lost, quite honestly, in the generation that the younger generation, the millennials, they've lost that because everything's done online. Everything's done, you know, behind a screen. It's on Facebook or it's on Twitter. It's on LinkedIn. It's on, you know, Snapchat or whatever it is that you're doing. And those are good, and you're going to get business off of those, but they're not the long-term relationships. Like right now, I could call any of those guys I said earlier because I've spent decades with those guys like Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and, you know, Ken Abraham. I could call them right now and they would help me no matter what spot I was in. They're constantly giving referrals. They're constantly helping, empowering, encouraging, lifting up, connecting, because I spent the time intentionally to build those relationships. And if you want a journey that's got deep roots, you build relationships intentionally and it'll pay huge dividends.
Do you see a difference between building relationships online versus meeting people in person?
Absolutely, without a question.
I find it interesting that you would view it that way because, I mean, the online web, you're able to connect with more people, but I've heard, like, I had someone on my podcast recently, and when we were talking off air, he said that after the show, he was going to have dinner with one of his business colleagues who's been with him for a really long time. So I just found that astounding, like that strong level of connection just by meeting in person.
Yeah, there's just something about pressing the flesh. You know, when you're in person, you can look at somebody in the eye, you can have a cup of coffee or a meal, have an accountability session or have a mastermind session. Personal, long-term. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making relationships because I have hundreds of them, possibly thousands of relationships online. But I'm just talking about, you said, what was the best lesson that you've learned on your journey to creating a great amount of success? And the answer is building strong relationships intentionally that can be in person or online. But you need to do both. And what I'm finding and what I was implying earlier, that the generations today are building all of their relationships online. They're not doing any of them personally. And there's going to be a time where you're going to need those people in your community. There's going to be death. There's going to be divorce. There's going to be horrific accidents and tragedies. There's going to be graduations, births, celebrations. You want people there in the flesh. So don't just limit your relationships to online.
That was an awesome summary of what we said on that topic. I like how you want to build the online relationships, but you also want to have the people who can surround you and help you at your greatest time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So there are listeners right now who they have different ambitions. I believe any listener and any person should be striving towards self-development, but for other people, their breakthrough would be hitting a certain number of YouTube subscribers or reaching out to certain people or getting a certain amount of blog traffic. So what advice do you have for these people who are trying to reach their specific breakthrough?
Yeah, you mentioned something. It's their goal to have so many YouTube subscribers. You know, there's a real difference in being popular and successful. And there's a lot of people online that are popular that they haven't learned how to convert those into clients. And it's not really the size of your audience, it's the engagement level. So I can make as much money as I want to on a fraction of the amount of followers if they're engaged. So if you're adding great value, you don't need to have millions of subscribers. You need to have a very engaged audience. So don't try to be popular. Try to be engaging.
That's great advice for people who are trying to reach a certain number of blog traffic and a certain number of YouTube subscribers. But for the entrepreneur who doesn't have a number, like let's say host a successful webinar, what advice would you have for those people who are trying to hit their breakthrough?
Well, they need to just continue to focus on adding value. And the big thing is stop trying to make the sale. I went to buy a car recently and I walked in and I had a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt. I guess the guy thought I couldn't afford, you know, a car, but I walked up and I said, I want a blue car, brown leather interior. Here's exactly what I want. And he said, well, I've got a red one over here. I said, I don't want a red one. I want a blue one and I want this color leather interior. This is the year I want. This is the model I want. He said, well, the red ones, there's discounts and there's rebates. And I said, for the third time. I want a blue car, brown leather interior. He said, would you just come and take a look at the red one? And I started laughing. I told Robin, I said, let's go. And so I gave him my card and I said, if you get a blue one, let me know. And we went and got in the car and left. And a week later, he calls me up on the phone. He said, I found a blue car. And I said, took you a week? Never mind. No, thank you. He wasn't trying to meet my need. What he was trying to do was sell a car. And if you want to have huge breakthroughs, try to meet people's need. Stop trying to sell them a car.
I like that powerful story because it's very relatable to anyone who's ever been in the auto store considering buying a car. You just want to get the one that you want instead of being told what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So my next question is, what are three tips that you have for people who want to strengthen their personal development?
Well, first of all, you need a strong, regimented routine. I personally do it in the mornings. I get up early. Mark, I don't know what time you get up. This morning, I was on the patio at 4:15.
I do not get up that early, just saying.
It was dark outside, and I told you twice in this interview already, I'm a person of faith, so I spend time in prayer, in meditation. I read scripture. I listen to praise and worship music. I have two prayer lists that I go down. I read religiously. I've read hundreds and hundreds of books, and I do that very methodically. I do that 5 days a week. That's the first tip. So I would have a very, very strong morning routine. Most of the time, the day gets busy and your time gets away and you get preoccupied with something else. If you don't do it in the mornings, most of the time, you probably wouldn't do it. I'm a huge, huge advocate of podcasts. I love to listen to podcasts. I would find the vertical that you enjoy and I would listen to that. I'm a huge TED Talks fan. I love to watch those. A couple more tips. I would go to conferences. We go to numbers of conferences annually that are in our space. We go to social media marketing. We go to podcast movement. There's others that we go to. I would do that. You have to spend, the average is 10% of your annual income on personal development. I think Darren Hardy's talked about that. I actually spent more than that last year on personal development. Every year that you do that, you'll make more money probably the subsequent years or the following years as you did the subsequent years, each and every year. So I would spend plenty of money on personal development, never make an apology for it. Read. We have two or three books going on at all times. If you don't like to read, listen to them through Audible. There's Kindle books. If you don't like the hardback, there's tons of things that you can do. Plus, there's also things you can do if you don't have money. Go to the library. You know, you can check all these books out at the library. It doesn't cost anything to listen to podcasts. It doesn't cost anything to listen to TED Talks. So there's tons of information out there if you want to grow.
I love the fact that you mentioned acquiring as much knowledge as possible, not just in your area, but also in your personal development, because I'm learning for myself that if you learn about personal development, it not only helps you from your personal standpoint, it also helps you to achieve the goals that you're going after. So, Aaron, I'm going to ask you, have you heard of the book, The 10X Rule?
Sure, absolutely. It's a great book.
Yeah, I just recently read that book a few days ago, and it's just mind-blowing, like mm-hmm. some of the different things these personal development books have. You could apply to your life, your business, every part of your life, actually.
Mm-hmm. No question about it, and it works.
So you've read a lot of the personal development books. You've had a life filled with personal development. What is one awesome inspirational quote you could think of right now?
You know, there's two that I've really lived my life by. One, my mom would never allow us to say can't, and so can't, couldn't do it, and could did it all is a principle that I've lived my life by. Most people are afraid. They're fearful of something. And I always say, fear missing an opportunity more than you fear failure. Mark, listen, people are not sitting around talking about our failures no more than they are our successes. Yet it holds us back from accomplishing our dreams and goals. So I would just encourage all your listeners to fear missing a great opportunity more than you fear failure.
Thank you for providing us with those two inspirational quotes. Definitely don't let your fear of failure hold you back, as Aaron mentioned before. And it's something that I thought of when I first started because it's very fearful to get started in anything. But what I've also realized, like with this podcast, for instance, I was very fearful of starting a podcast for a long time. But once I started it and now I'm interviewing all these influencers, it's easier for me now to do these podcast interviews. I was very fearful of this just a few months earlier, so don't let your fear hold you back. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask Aaron, where can we find him on the web?
Oh, man, that is awesome, Mark. Thank you. You can find me at viewfromthetop.com. I love to follow people on Twitter. That's at VFT Coach, Victor VFT Coach. So you follow me there. And before I leave, Mark, I have a little gift I'd like to give your listeners. Is that okay?
Oh, sure thing. It'll be in the show notes.
If you'll go to viewfromthetop.com/breakthrough success, all in lowercase letters, there's three documents I use every day: a personal assessment, where we discover your ideals, your identity, your relationships, your faith, your career. It really breaks down things that are important to each and every one of us. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just thought-provoking questions. The second one is a document that I wrote years ago called What Do I Want? I ask people very pointed questions about how you want to live your lifestyle. Once you figure out who you are and what you want, I wrote Steps to a Productive Day. And that's a to-do list on steroids, if you will. It's a Word document that helps you work through your day very methodically every day. I've taken all the prices off of all three of these documents, and I'm giving them to your audience. So again, go to viewfromthetop.com/breakthrough success, and I hope these documents help you live a more successful and significant life.
Thank you for extending your free gifts to my listeners, and thank you for taking the time to be a guest on my podcast. It was great to have you.
Enjoyed it, Mark. Have a good one, buddy. We'll see you.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. Aaron achieved the dream that most people wish they could achieve. It's something that we like to think about. He retired very early in his life. However, as the interview went on, it became obvious that retiring early was not necessarily a smart move. He couldn't approach life with the same amount of vigor that he had while working. Continuing to find work that fills his life with a strong purpose is what helps to drive Aaron. Our work has the power to drive us to achieve extraordinary things. Without it, we are lost in the abyss. The next time you feel like the work you're putting in for your goals is too much, too challenging, remember that your work keeps you alive and chasing your dreams keeps you invigorated. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry, we've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markguberti.com/E15 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markguberti.com/retweet. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.